Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the bang.
What is up, my pizzas? Video Game Bang is live on twitch.tv, continuing on with our quarantine casts. Well, joining me on the show, longtime favorite, but he's been busy with life, but we're always happy to have him back. The real David Webb. What is up, man?
What is up, everybody? It's good to be back.
How's quarantine treating you, man?
So I was on board for like a good chunk of it. I was like, this is fine. I can do this. I like working from home and everything. I'm losing it. Cabin fever has set in. I like to work from home, but I'm like, if I could go out and do things afterwards, I think it'd be a lot better. But like, I can't get a haircut and I can't go do anything.
I'm losing my mind a little bit. I'm on my second haircut now. My wife watched a bunch of YouTube videos and was like, I think I can do this. And I was just ready to shave it all off anyways. But I was like, all right, so what's the worst you can do? And like 6 hours later, I had a nice little quarantine fade going on. Like, my wife really put it together. We've been expanding our skill sets. He's always expanding his skill set. Every time I talk to him, it's something new. Curtis Fisher, what's going on, man?
Oh my gosh, I'm with Webb, man. Cabin fever is definitely setting in. I had to go and take a really long drive today and 2 days ago just to get out, but happy to be back. Happy to have things to do, like stream with the VGB crew. So here we are.
You said something interesting in the chat before we started. You were saying that your mother was telling you all about 90 Day Fiance. What's the story there? I have to know a little bit more because I'm actually very, very invested in that series right now.
I'm learning, that's part of the reason why she held me up a little bit. Tender moments with, you know, speaking to your mom about stuff that she's stoked about. I can't imagine how many hours she spent listening to me talk about comic books and video games.
So it's your turn, Curtis. You listen to me. Was she just telling you about specific characters or how the show works as a whole?
I mean, how the show works as a whole, but there was a timeline of this dude, I forget, he's in some country over in Africa, and he's like, he calls himself Soulja Boy.
Yes!
That dude. So
Usman.
He's just telling me how, Usman, okay, I guess that's his name, but yeah, just talking about how, you know, he's got his lady that he met on the internet.
Yep, baby girl Lisa.
Asian lady.
Yeah, baby girl Lisa, who's not a baby. She's very much a like 60-year-old woman, but yes.
Yeah, she's definitely a cougar woman, Lisa. Might be a little more accurate, but bought his mama goat. You know, they're a Muslim family, bought the mama a goat, trying to show respect. Mama's not having it, you know what I mean? And I'm thinking all of this because homeboy wants to go to America and see if he can get his rap career popping over there as well and flex.
That's like, not the
is it
start.
Really worth it.
Yeah. By the time he gets here, no one's going to be like, oh, yeah, that TLC rapper who married that super old chick. Like, he got so much street cred. No, it's he's hustling backwards is what we call that.
That's what we call that. So, yeah.
Also joining us, special guest. I'm excited because I don't think she's been on the show at the same time as me. She comes in and fills in when I'm absent, but I'm excited to talk to her. Bad Kitty Cosplay, what's going on?
Hey. Hello again, everybody.
You're not really Bad Kitty Cosplay anymore, are you? Because you've expanded. You've gone, you're like a triple threat now because you're also a Twitch streamer, Bad Kitty, right?
I know it's taken off and it's been good. I remember back in November, you guys were all like, good luck with that. I'm like, okay. And then it ended up working out really well. So do the cosplay plus game streams on Twitch.
What have you found the most success with? How have you grown from that period? Because I do remember, I think we might have been one show together. Might have been the first one. So that you were green, fresh to the platform. How do you feel? What do you think you've learned the most about Twitch in your time?
I'm still pretty green, let's be real.
What would you have told your old self?
I would have told my old self to just not look at viewer counts. Just don't even worry about it. Just do you and don't look at it. Because I feel like sometimes when I see it's like really high out of nowhere, I like get in my own head. I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, and I start acting weird, right? When I just need to just do my own thing and it's fine. But I definitely think the most success came from just being a variety gamer and gaming all over the place, because I've picked up people from every game I've played. And I think the good chunk of it came from I did Alien Isolation a couple months ago.
Okay.
And we did it with the Kinect with like scare donations. And I love horror, but I will react to horror like you cannot believe. Like, so I think there was a lot of people that got enjoyment out of that, because who doesn't like watching people get scared, right?
Exactly.
We all like watching those
videos.
It's
a staple of Twitch.
Exactly. And then I've just been really lucky to have like friends that have their own communities who've come and raided me, or, you know, so it's just like one really kind of big happy family. And I've been really lucky and I've got like the best community ever. So I'm loving it.
Hey, that's so good to hear. A lot of that goes over to the podcasting side too. Usually, you know, for schmucks like me, it's you're worried about you have the low viewer counts and you need to stay motivated to get out of it. I'm not fortunate, or I wasn't, especially in the early days, able to have the problem of like, oh man, too many viewers, what do I do? It was always like, oh, there's no viewers, how do I stay motivated to do this?
Don't worry, I got days like that too where I'm just like, don't worry, the people will come, people trickle in, or, you know, you just got to keep doing it. I've definitely had friends that, you know, streamed for like over a year before they even like, you know, got to kind of where I'm at right now. So I've just been really, really lucky. Nice. And right now we're doing Mass Effect 3. So all right. If you guys are interested, we are doing that right now. But I will be doing a buddy stream tomorrow with Emma. We're playing the sequel to We Were Here Too. So we're going to do the virtual escape room sequel together tomorrow at 4 p.m. So if
so
you
that
guys
would
are
be
interested,
today if you listen to
it
live.
Out.
So,
yeah.
So we have the first, like, before we get into the news, there was a little bit of Twitch controversy since we're on the topic that I just felt we have to talk about. We cover this stuff. It's Alinity. I think we talked about her a few times on the show. She's one of the most like controversial figures in Twitch because she's always pushing the boundaries of, you know, what you can get away with and not get banned for, and people get really upset with her. She's definitely on the villain side. No matter what community you're a part of or how big your Twitch stream is, it seems like it's okay for some reason to just hate her with everything in your being. But the thing she was most known for before this most recent incident was chucking her cat. She was like sitting at her desk, the cat was in front of her, and she just kind of lifted and tossed the cat over her head, which it didn't seem malicious. I've definitely seen worse. You know, cats land on their feet. You know, I didn't think it was as big of a travesty as everyone else made it out to be, but everyone jumped on that. But this time she crossed the only boundary she has not crossed yet on stream, which is brief nudity. She was streaming, I don't know what, I don't know, she was trying to put like balloons in her shirt for some stunt or something. She pulled the shirt up too much and flashed a boob, and then clear accident as far as I could tell. But immediately gets Twitch clipped, posted, live stream fails, hundreds and thousands of comments, retweets, and of just people flipping out that this happened to her, A, and then B, she wasn't like banned immediately. She ended up banning herself before any actual action was taken against her. She came out and was like, all right, I'll take the L here, and I'm just going to self-impose a 72-hour stream ban on myself. And then very shortly after that, Twitch came out and gave her a real 24-hour ban. But
oh, it's just a 24-hour ban?
Yeah. What do you guys think? Did you guys see this first of all, and kind of what were your thoughts on the fallout?
I saw the aftermath. Like, I don't know if it's a legitimate accident. Like, that's I don't know if a permaban is necessary. Like I think a 24-hour ban is fine if it's a legitimate accident. Like, based on everything I've been reading, it kind of seems like it was a legitimate accident.
What do you think?
Yeah,
Kurt?
I saw the clip myself. After seeing the clip, you could tell that it is a legitimate accident. But it's tough with people like Alinity, because had this been anyone else that hasn't pushed the rules so far and hasn't done so many things that other streamers get, like, banned for much longer, some even permabanned, and she, you know, barely ever gets in anything. I even saw, outside of seeing the clip itself, I saw a screenshot where someone had went into the chat and there was Twitch staff in the chat at the time. And like, it took, like, where other people, matter of fact, there was another Twitch streamer that had taken the clip, played it, and then like made it a notification for if people like followed or liked or, you know, whatever it was. So the clip kept going off. That Twitch streamer got banned for Alinity's clip before Alinity got banned.
Wow.
For it happening on her own channel.
You know what? I saw that, though. And here's the thing. That guy was... before I get to my take, I'm not even going to say it's a hot take. It's a lukewarm take. Bad Kitty, did you see this? And what were your thoughts?
This topic in general. But, I mean, to be fair, yeah, like, you could tell it was an accident, but I mean, like, I don't know. Like, why would you be doing certain things on stream, you know? Like, just why?
Why play with fire?
Exactly. Like, why would you put yourself in a situation for certain things to happen in the first place? And she's done that a lot. I mean, there's been full-on, like, full dick pics on her, like, Discord that she's shown on stream before. She's done a little bit more than thrown at her cat. I mean, there's other footage of her like kicking the dog out of the way, kicking the cat.
I think one time she gave the cat some alcohol or something. Like, she gave the cat a shot of vodka or something, like, crazy.
Yeah, like, she with her mouth, like, she gave. This is like, what? God. So it's just there's been definitely just I don't know. It's interesting how much can be done on Twitch before you get like permanently banned. And in this case, I mean, I think she's done a lot, and I don't know if I agree with everything Twitch has and hasn't done, but it definitely seems like there should have been a faster reaction to what happened recently.
Yeah, the meme that everyone says is that she has some dirt on somebody high up at Twitch. And like, honestly, it kind of seems that way, because she does get a lot more lenience. The one thing I will say, though, is, you know, she's very much kind of a bad figure in Twitch from a lot of different perspectives. But on a base level, the part I found the most disturbing was, I mean, to me, bullying is bullying, whether it's a good, quote unquote good person or a quote unquote bad person. And in the end of the day, she's a human being on Twitch who accidentally flashed a boob, which, I mean, it was unintentional, wasn't meant to be seen. And the fact that people were just sharing it around and memeing it in so, like, just so openly and flagrantly was kind of disgusting. Like, you know, you go to these accounts, because that's what I do, I'll see, like, oh, what the fuck is that? Someone took like her nipple and put it as pepperonis on a pizza or something. And you're like, who would do that? And you click on their profile, and it's like a 13-year-old Fortnite kid. You know, it's crazy that, you know, these kids have access to this thing and that it was still available and just like being completely shown without being flagged or taken down as bullying or anything like that. So, I don't know. Am I alone here? Anybody have thoughts on that aspect of it? What makes it okay to take this one boob slip and then just make it your own like little piece of comedy with no repercussions?
Yeah, I think that's pretty messed up.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's not okay. Like, one thing that wasn't okay led to another thing that wasn't okay. Unfortunately, thus is the behavior of the internet. You know, again, you know, it's not okay what they did. That's why you don't want to give the internet ammunition, because it's like infinite ammo, pretty much. It doesn't run out. But it doesn't make it okay. But I think that that's kind of where things lie. What she did, you know, was, yeah, legitimately an accident, but she, you know, but essentially she was playing with fire, which she shouldn't have, and accidentally, you know, burned a room down in her house. And
exactly,
people took that and, you know, set the internet on fire. No one really wins in this situation. But I think, you know, obviously the biggest part about the controversy, going back to what Kitty said, is there just wasn't really a timely response. And I think that's like kind of like there's so many layers to this because she has such a history on Twitch with her behavior. But, you know, if we're taking like the meta, you know, the meta lesson from it is that, you know, like you said, Corey, she must have dirt on someone over there because she definitely gets favorable treatment and it looks bad on the rest of the community. So I don't know. This is a thing that Twitch needs to figure out how they're going to go ahead with so they can have things that I don't want to say fair, because, you know, it's hard to be fair. You want to try to be, but at least things that are a little more consistent from user to user.
I think one thing just to kind of dovetail on that is I guess it's expected to a degree from those 13-year-old Fortnite kids. But, and again, the first person I saw post this thing was Keemstar, who is just that guy. You know, I expect it from Keemstar. Yeah. It's news, so he's going to be the first one to post it. And he doesn't care about who gets, you know, broken or, you know, in the crossfire. So he just posted it. But there's a lot of verified accounts that were sharing it and commenting it and stuff that I kind of, I don't know, when I looked at their accounts before, I looked at it in a certain way of like respect and, you know, from a position of like, oh yeah, you know, that's one of the good ones. And then just how openly and freely they were bashing, you know, the situation, not just the situation, but bullying, body shaming, we'll call it. I don't know, it was just super disappointing. Kitty, what do you kind of think about that? Do you think it's just the internet? It's once it's out there, you just got to deal with the repercussions, or should there be more people upset about this? Because I feel like this is one argument I haven't heard anywhere else yet.
I think this is just a situation where no one wins, and that's just kind of usually how it goes. But I mean, if you're gonna, like you said, if you're gonna play with fire, you're gonna get burned. Like, it's just how it goes. If you're gonna, you know, do certain things on stream, you know, you might get consequences from it. That's just what's going to happen. If you're going to wear, you know, outfits that are going to, you know, accidentally have, you know, wardrobe malfunctions, or you're going to, you know, do things you shouldn't do on stream and not think that, you know, no one's watching or, you know, is going to comment or do anything with it. I mean, it's just, she just, from what I've seen and what I had to research on, she kind of has just given... She's just kind of given fuel to her own kind of social media war. She's been not only her own worst enemies in certain situations, but then there's been, you know, legit other people who, like you've said, have completely bullied her and bashed her in situations that were maybe it was called for or wasn't called for. I mean, but I've seen everything from her dog sniffing her crotch and then humping her right on live on stream to, like, you know, the whole situation where if she sings, her cat bites her. So it's like, it's just, it's all over the place. So.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I'm not trying to defend her actions or anything. So don't take that. I'm not simping Alinity.
Oh, no,
right here. 100%. That's the takeaway from a lot of people though. When you try and defend someone that is everyone hates, you know, you're, if she's a woman nowadays, you're called a simp, but, or before it was known as a white knight, but her actions aren't, I'm not trying to say that she doesn't deserve bans and worse bans. I'm just saying don't bully the person or don't body shame the person. But we've talked.
And on that note, real quick, Corey, on that note, what's interesting is there were some people that were, you know, let's use the actual term, that were sympathizing with her, but they were doing it on DMs because I guess they didn't want to do like reply to some of her tweets.
Yeah.
And then she replied to them in public tweets saying, if you're going to be on my side, do it out in public. Don't simp in private on the DM.
She said
she
that.
Lightweight, like, she torched them for trying to, wow, you know, privately show support.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's the thing with, and again, not that you were coming to her defense, but I mean, you know, you're right. The stuff that other people did doesn't make it right. But she's so controversial because right at the place where you would think, you know, people just lending support in whatever way, she is a human, sure, let's take that stance, she lights that on fire too and just like has no appreciation for that. So it's just man, she's exactly. she's something else. That's all I gotta say.
Correct me if I'm wrong too, but she, like you said, she did her own self ban, right? But wasn't there tweets where she was angry with Twitch that then they also then banned her? Like, what she did wasn't enough? Like, wasn't there something like that that I read? I was just like, are you kidding me right now?
That's like being like, no, mom and dad, I'll ground myself for an hour because I know I messed up. And then they're like, no, you're grounded for a day. And you're like, what the hell?
That was
I just grounded myself.
That was the realest thing because I know every one of us tried that at one time.
Exactly. No. How about I pick my punishment?
Yeah.
Nah.
Which makes me believe what you guys are saying, where she's just got something on someone, you know?
Like,
yeah.
Because if she, in her mind, thinks she has that much power, like, oh, good Lord. So, yeah.
Well, I think, too, like, to that point, it's a lot of it is, like, these streamers that have these big audiences, like, at the level that she's at, they're so, like, full of themselves that they think they do have as much power, like that much power that they could be like, no, I'm not going to get banned. Like, I make you so much money, I'm not going to get banned. You're
yeah,
not
that's
ban
true.
Me.
And it keeps becoming true, though. Dr. Disrespect taking a camera into a bathroom, you know, and only getting banned for, you know, not nearly long enough. Like, these are things that I think if people who weren't at that status did, would just get insta banned and then forgotten about the next day. Whereas when you get these dudes who are bringing in tons of money, they do get away. They do get to live a certain lifestyle, you know, that the rest of us can't really afford.
No.
Curtis, you're going to be taking us through the news today. Where are we going, brother?
Absolutely. Well, from one thing to another, let's see. I think this one is a good one to talk about. We'll leave the juiciest one for last. AMC Theaters. This is a very interesting thing as we are all sheltering in place and not able to go to movie theaters unless they're drive-ins and only in certain states and counties. But AMC Theaters say that they will no longer play Universal movies after unacceptable comments. In an interview with the Wall Street Journal, Jeff Schell noted that the Trolls World Tour succeeded their expectations, pulling in nearly $100 million in revenue through digital sales alone and more than 5 million copies being sold. As a result, Shell noted that, as quote, soon as theaters reopen, we expect to release movies on both formats, end quote, meaning some movies would continue with theatrical releases while others would go directly to digital retailers or possibly land on NBC Universal's new streaming platform, Peacock. The move led to a lengthy statement from AMC Theaters chair CEO Adam Aaron, who claimed that Shell's comments were, quote, unacceptable, end quote. Quote, it is disappointing to us, but Jeff's comments as to Universal's unilateral actions and intentions have left us with no choice, end quote, Aaron wrote. Quote, therefore, effective immediately, AMC will no longer play any Universal movies in any of our theaters in the United States, Europe, or the Middle East, end quote. And actually, okay, so there's been a slight update today. Also, Regal owner Cinema World chimes in on the Trolls World controversy, saying, quote, we will not be showing movies that fail to respect the windows, end quote. Universal movies on deck, coming out soon. Candyman, Boss Baby 2, of course, Fast and the Furious, or F9, Jurassic World Dominion, and Minions, The Rise of Gru.
So not a whole lot lost. Not a whole lot lost for AMC there. That those are the movies that they got to look forward to. But I think this sucks. It's a spit in the face of progress because we've been talking about this kind of recently, how the world changes after pandemic or like a crisis like this, and how one of the positives might be, you know, more sources or we change the way we look at movies. And clearly AMC and Regal don't want nothing to do with that. Homie, don't play that. Like, when I first read that headline, I was thinking, oh, unacceptable. I wonder what Universal said. They might have came out of line and really talked some shit. But no, they were just like, you know, after this whole thing calms down, we're going to keep going with this. And AMC said, that shit's unacceptable. And I don't know. I would like to hear what the rest of the crew thinks on this.
I think it's kind of wild because, like you said, it's you know, it's progress and it's another way of us being able to get this content. And I think it's kind of, I think it's cool, especially now during the pandemic, that we're able to get movies a lot quicker, like at home. I mean, looking at it from a business perspective, though, I get why they're going to do that, because it's, well, you're taking money away from me, so I'm going to take money away from you. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying from a business perspective, like, that's 100% their mentality.
What do you think, Bad Kitty?
I like the direction of kind of this digital age we're going into. I think it's, I mean, think of how much money you spend on movie theater tickets, popcorn, whatever, right? And depending what theater you go to, right? Some are like these dine-in ones, or they're like special reserve recline ones. Like, it's definitely, if you look at how much you spend to go to the movies versus how much it costs to actually just buy the movie, I think, yeah, it's definitely gonna hurt theaters, but I think it'll be a lot better for people and families when you can just, you know, oh, I can buy the movie for $20 and have it forever. I mean, $20 to, you can't even take like a family of four for $20 to the movie theater. So
hearing chat,
reading
chat too, they're throwing some good stuff out there. One thing that kind of strikes me too is that they're kind of biting the hand that feeds them a little bit, because they're a symbiotic relationship. Like, the movie theater is nothing without the movies. And although it's just, Fast and the Furious or, you know, Rise of Gru, Minions, those are still, that's still money. That's still dollars and cents. And last time I checked, there's not a whole lot of huge, great studios out there putting out blockbuster movies. So to take one of those and be like, we're not working with you no more, might be a little hasty. Maybe they should sweeten the deal instead of talking a bunch of shit and say, oh, maybe we'll give you a little bit more of the cuts or something. And from a consumer standpoint, we win. If it goes more digital, we have more options. We could still go to those movie theaters, or we could still stay home, like Kitty was saying, and just watch it with our fam for $20. But what it's going to cause to us to double win is that there's going to be less movie theaters, if that's the future. And those theaters out there that are still remaining are going to have to innovate and come up with more creative ways to make it more lucrative so we go out. I don't think movie theaters will go away forever. You can't replace that experience. But at the same time, maybe we could step the game up. Maybe it's, you know, the dinner places. Maybe there's, you know, it's better quality. There's movie theaters out here that we can go to that, you know, the left speaker don't work in Natomas. Like, you get into that once you get when you get 813 or whatever, you're like, oh shit, it's in the one with the broken left speaker. Like, god damn. Like, you know, if they were really fighting to stay in the game, they'd be fixing that shit and giving us a better experience at the end of the day to bring us in their doors. What do you think, Curtis?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. You know, to your point, like, yeah, the experience, you know, you want it to be top notch, you know, same thing, go to the Natomas Theater, that one in there, broken speaker, which is tough, because then you look at like, how much money are they pulling in? You know, they probably don't want the experience to be impacted. Why aren't they fixing the speaker? Maybe because they're not bringing in a whole lot that they can, you know, then put over there. If they put that over there, then maybe they're looking at cutting down some employees, which it already looks like, you know, their staff is hurting. But I think overall, with the natural progression of things, you know, just like how we used to have a lot more drive-ins, and now drive-ins, you know, is a novelty within movie theaters. I think movie theaters as a whole are going to be a novelty. And some of them are innovating, as we've talked about, places like Movie Studio Grill out here in Sacramento where we live, where, you know, they have like, you know, much more appetizing, dinner setup, more room. They got the nice chairs. They serve alcohol, all that stuff. And normal theaters are starting to sell beers and all that thing. But it's true. It's going to decline. That's just kind of what technology does. It individualizes things. It does give people more options when things go digital and there's more platforms, and that's what people can have. I don't want to see them go completely away. I mean, as much as I love to watch, you know, Endgame at home, the at-home experience was nothing like being in the movie theaters where certain things happen in the movie and everybody's cheering together and people are turning around and high-fiving and looking at each other like, whoa, you know, like that communal experience, which I think we're going to have more of appreciation for after we get out of the these shelter-in-home places as things become safe and we roll out different ways to reopen some of those businesses. I think we're going to have a bigger appreciation for things like that. But ultimately, it's not going to get in the way of progress, and it's not going to get in the way of choice. And you know, when you're something that, when you're a dinosaur going extinct and someone, you know, poses a conflict of interest that might make you go out faster, hurt you sooner, things like this are naturally going to happen. And I think the only thing that we're going to be doing is just watching how it all plays out.
I think COVID-19 bought them time they didn't know they needed.
I like that House of X and Powers of 10 X-Men reference.
That's what you get if you want more of those little chestnuts. Listen to Krakoa Cast weekdays at 8. What else we got in the news
on the CW?
On the CW.
on the VGBW. All right, so going from the movie theaters and jumping back into the arena of video games, this is one that kind of caught a lot of people by storm, and we'll have some extra juicy insight here. But what happens when the reigning MVP of your league decides to call it quits in the middle of the season? Not only, and this is all coming around Sinatra, for people who follow Overwatch League, not only does he quit, but he starts playing a game that hasn't even come out of beta yet. The Overwatch League is about to find out. Jay Sinatra Wan announced yesterday that he is leaving the San Francisco Shock to sign with the Sentinels as a part of their upcoming Valorant squad. Sinatra was widely viewed as the face of Overwatch League in the West. Corey, I'm going to go ahead and let you lead on this one.
I mean, wow. it was a surprising, it surprised everybody, put it that way. Like I knew I had a little bit of heads up. We thought we were going to have a little more time, obviously, but the ESPN story just kind of broke in the middle of the day yesterday. But yeah, basically, you know, Sinatra was teasing kind of on his stream for a few days that he was, you know, mulling something over. You know, it as soon as Valorant came out, he's been streaming it a lot. So, I mean, people were kind of, that's what people do on the internet. They just read between lines. You know, 9 times out of 10, they're reading too far into things and there's no, you know, truth to it at all. But this time it turned out, you know, they were pretty correct. You know, I stay more on the social side of the business. I don't talk about players or, you know, I'd have nothing to do with coaches or staff or anything like that, which I like it better that way. So when, you know, the news came out and I was informed, it was a shock. And the
pun intended.
Yeah, totally. Pun always intended.
Terrible.
With that.
I couldn't resist. Sorry.
I'm glad you did it. You're a better man for it, Curtis. But it was it was wild, and there was rumors circulating, as I was saying, and he hadn't played in the last 2 weeks, which was kind of odd. It was a little peculiar, you know. As we're covering it for social, we're putting him on graphics and stuff because you assume, you know, Sinatra's going to play. But, you know, he put out a statement yesterday saying basically he lost the passion for the game. He's not too sure when it happened, but it's mostly related to the game itself and a lot of the, you know, changes, whether it was 2-2-2, the character lock, or the band system that they've incorporated. Just between all of these elements, he just had enough and he called it quits. And I could just say from the org side and from on a human level, like, Sinatra was amazing to work with. There's David's gotten to see and work with him, I believe, at an event or two.
Yeah.
And
a couple times, yeah.
Yeah, he's just always nice to staff, to fans, to everybody. You know, he's the type of dude where if you had something you needed to be done, you talk to Sinatra, and or if you talk to another player and they won't do it, you talk to Sinatra and he'll either make it happen or do it himself. Like, the guy was an absolute superstar in just every aspect of professionalism. So it's obviously a huge hit for the organization. You know, he was not just the face of the Overwatch League, but, you know, he was a big face of our team. And, you know, is a sad day. Like, I was actually really just sad. It's always sad when you lose a person like that. He's been with the team since basically day one. And yeah. I hope he succeeds. Like, he's the type of guy, there's not many out there, but to be the very, very best of a big league, I don't care what it is, soccer, baseball, hockey, curling, gymnastics, anything. When you hit that spot where you're the best in the world, undeniably, when you got a player base of millions, it says something not just about your raw skill, but just about your mentality and your mind and your heart and your dedication. So if he finds that fire and has it for Valorant and puts it full force into this game, you know, I see it being, you know, maybe it's a 300 IQ move, you know, and at the end of the day, if it's what's making him happy, like who are we to try and, you know, stop him at all or badmouth or, you know, be upset. Like he, I saw tweets and stuff that were hard to read. People were like, oh my gosh, imagine putting all this marketing time into a guy and then he just leaves. Like that was the furthest thing from any of our minds as this whole thing was happening. You know, it's like we would, and I mean, I'm speaking for myself, obviously, because I don't, like I said, I didn't make the decision. But I know the heart of our organization, and if someone doesn't want to be there, we're definitely not the type of place that's going to force you to do something you don't want to do. So if it was Sinatra being miserable day in and day out and having to, you know, fight through this season, you know, hating life versus, you know, the outcome that ended up happening, I mean, I think that's the best case scenario. Like it's better for him to have that peace of mind, and it's better for us to know we're not, you know, torturing a person into staying on our Overwatch team, you know? So yeah. That's where I'm at. I'm curious what anybody else kind of thought about it.
It made me sad to see that he was going.
Yeah.
Like, and I kind of understood it. I mean, like you were saying earlier with what he's been streaming on Twitch lately. I mean, he's been having more fun not playing Overwatch, basically. And I mean, these players get so burnt out too. I mean, you have to think of how much they play that game. I mean, it's understandable you'd want to change or, you know, want to do something different. I mean, it is very drastic to do it, you know, like you were saying. I mean, maybe he got a really good offer to, you know, leave, because it's pretty drastic well to do that, like, you know, mid season. Part of me kind of was, yeah, more shocked than anything, but you, after watching the last live games last weekend, I mean, he was not playing a lot.
Yeah.
They didn't have him on the roster. So I'm sure that there was, you know, a lot more going on behind the scenes than we really knew, because he definitely wasn't playing as much as I was expecting the last couple of games, which was interesting.
That's one thing.
I just want him to be happy, you know.
Exactly. I think that's what a lot of the fan base wants. And to that end, you know, it's pretty crazy. The one thing that's not a storyline that progresses out of here for damn good reason is that imagine any other team in any other sport losing the league MVP. You know, like, of course it's shocking. You know, once you get over that though, and you're a fan of that team, most times you're like, oh God, we're screwed. You know, what are we going to do? The star player just left. What happens? But the SF Shock is so goddamn stacked that's the least thing on any, like, of the, we've had tons of meetings that we've talked this thing up and down with everybody, I'm sure, in the organization, just like, wow, can't believe it. You know, you talk about it. And the one thing nobody is talking about internally is like, oh man, we're probably gonna have to take some
what
L's.
Are we gonna do?
Yeah, no, we know that we're still gonna dominate the season. We're still a top three team at the very least. It's still gonna be exciting matches. That's just the depth of this roster that we've built. And just I don't know. I'm still on that end. It's totally normal. There's nothing like I'm worried about. It's just the sadness of losing a person. What was anybody else have any takes on this?
Kind of reminds me of like when Mike. Oh, go ahead, Webb.
No, all you go for it.
I was like, it kind of reminds me of when Michael Jordan stepped away from basketball when he was talking about like he kind of lost the love, you know, for it for a little while, and everybody remembers him going and playing for like the Barons and in the minor league baseball for a little while. Like, you know, even, you know, the best to do it if they lose the love for it for whatever reason. sometimes they need to step away. And sometimes stepping away, you know, and taking a break, you know, reminds them of why they enjoy it so much. So, you know, we'll see. This might not be the last that we see of him. But for right now, if it's a better decision for him mentally, then I support it.
What do you think, David?
Kurt pretty much said damn near the exact same thing I was going to say. That's exactly what I was thinking is in Space Jam, you see Michael Jordan playing baseball and you're like, well, what the hell is going on here? And that's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, but yeah, I mean, like basically, you know, what everybody's already said is like, as long as he, you know, he's happy, he's put his heart and soul into, you know, not only the game, but also, you know, SF Shock. And, you know, he was, you know, I did get to meet him a couple of times and work with him at events and stuff like that. And like Corey said, he's super willing to do whatever. He's super chill with the fans and like, you know, we'll hang out with them and talk to them and stuff like that. And it's, you know, it is sad to see a player that has so much heart and skill for not only the game, but also the league and the team to kind of just like lose interest. But, you know, like Bad Kitty said, they play this game day in and day out. And I got burnt on the game after a year of playing it. And I wasn't even playing it nearly as much as them. So I can only imagine.
I think
it's understandable.
A lot of, you know, stuff people use a thing like this to, you know, twist whatever headlines that they want or, you know, kind of they want to, like I said, read between the lines. Another one that's pretty true is that Overwatch League has not really done the best job of fostering a T2 or T3 scenes out there right now and building these new stars up that are going to be taking over in the league. And that's what's already caught, because there's a lot of like, you know, lower level, not Overwatch League. When I say a lower level, I just mean like, you know, contenders level and below players that have given up the game to go to Valorant. Like when the game came out, there was that one day where I swear pros across many different games, but they all made their tweet longer saying how they were giving up on mostly Overwatch to play Valorant. And that was, you know, kind of a wake up call. But then when you see the top guy doing it, you know, there are changes that I think need to be made. And hopefully, you know, that we do see these changes take place and we do have Overwatch 2 on the horizon. There's a lot to, you know, of upside to the Overwatch League and a lot that can change. And that's what
there's. Yeah, there needs to be changes. I mean, this has been one of the roughest Overwatch League seasons, I think, to date. And not just because of all the COVID craziness that's going on. It's definitely more than that. And it you know, it's hard. Like I love our boys. I love our Shock boys to death. And they're stacked. I'm not worried. Like this is not a crazy devastating blow to the team. Like they will be okay. They will recover. They'll be just fine. But in retrospect, each season they're changing the rules of the game, right? And I mean at some point there's going to be certain changes that are done that aren't going to be beneficial, which I think we're seeing this time around.
Yeah. I mean, I played a lot yesterday. I like played Overwatch my sorrows away. I was kind of sad and I was just like, I'm just going to play ranked. And it was kind of like, you know, how in Hot Rod, he does the hate or the anger dancing. I was like anger playing Overwatch and it was not my best moments, but I ended up getting so mad. I was like, I could see why he quit this damn game. Cause my favorite McCree is not, I was playing comp and I was just DPSing and I don't even play DPS, but I wanted to just because I was mad. And, but I couldn't even pick my main guy. And I was like, so for like a week, I can't play McCree and everyone got this Echo character who I know I could be shooting out the sky. And me is just a troll noob. I'm just getting pissed off at this game because I can't. And so, and then even the 2-2-2, like there's just a lot. It's a lot, guys. I'm probably not the best and probably shouldn't be talking about this a whole lot given, you know, what I do. But I truly love the game. I want what's best for it. I want what's best for Sinatra. It's a big hit, but and I'm sure the story will progress. We'll be following his career. He's still best friends with all those guys. It's not like, you know, he said he wants to co-stream the games and just support the team and stuff on the side, which is amazing. It's so. Go ahead.
Let me see what you think and like to kind of dovetail on the story and like parallel it with when Ninja moved to Mixer. And everybody, you know, not everybody, but there were a lot of people, and I'm going to say myself included, was like, oh, damn, like Twitch, you know, they need to make these changes and they need to do all this stuff. Otherwise, you know, more people are going to be leaving. And this could be, you know, the beginning of a wave that we see. We saw a small wave, but it's kind of, I mean, Valorant is way farther away from Overwatch than Mixer is from Twitch. But do you think that it's going to be something similar? Do you think we're going to see this as like kind of be a, like a lead, like he's going to be the leader and other people are going to follow? Or do you think that it's going to be like some people will, but it's going to like, you know, even out?
I think Sinatra is in a very lucky case to the fact that he's not just an Overwatch League player. He was the Overwatch League player in a lot of respects. Right. So he could go to a game that's in beta and, you know, get paid a bunch of money from an organization still, you know. But there's probably a lot of guys who aren't very popular, you know, aren't getting the playtime, might be toxic. Who knows what their situation is, that if they did, you know, they can't just start reaching out and be like, hey, give me a fat Valorant contract. You know, Sinatra's a guy who's in demand. Whatever that guy does from the rest of his life, he'll probably just have people just begging to have him a part of their franchise. I mean, or at least they should be, you know, because for the reasons I mentioned, incredibly talented, super marketable, amazing on the mic. Everyone wants to hang out with him, you know, like he's just that kind of dude. He's in a special situation, much like Ninja. Hopefully the league takes it seriously, and, you know, Mixer, I guess, maybe hasn't. I've been seeing a lot, you know, of the numbers are starting to come out from, you know, Ninja and Shroud's move, and they're not looking too favorable. You know, it's not like they brought a shitload of fans over that are just huge sellouts for Mixer now. So I don't know. I hope this isn't the case. Otherwise, you know, I don't know. So I don't know. We will see in the next few months, but I wouldn't suspect it's going to be a lot of people in the Overwatch League.
Yeah.
What else we got, Curtis? I'm done talking about this.
I know, feels.
Yeah. Now that we've all had that cry, that good cry, we can move on to, well, actually, we're still sticking with the sensation that's sweeping the nation. More Valorant talk. Twitch has finally taken action against streamers, taking advantage of Valorant's drops by playing VODs and tagging themselves as live in their titles. Twitch has now updated their community guidelines to say that any kind of cheating of rewards programs is prohibited. This announcement can be found
out there
on the internet.
Quick question. Kitty? Yes. Have any of you played the game yet?
Yeah. I've logged some major hours. I like it a lot.
Okay, what are your thoughts?
I love it. I actually really, really enjoy the game. It's not what I expected, which is kind of good. Like, you know, being the big Overwatch guy, I look at everything kind of through that scope of, like, how is Overwatch better? And the big thing I was thinking was the format of the game mode being like that Call of Duty Seek and Destroy standard CSGO, you know, go plant the bomb, try and defuse the bomb type of thing, and it works in rounds, and you have to worry about your economy. You know, my thought was that, man, when I watched CSGO back in the day, you know, when we had a team, some of these matches could take like 2.5 hours if they started going into overtimes and switching sides and all this stuff, and you have to worry about, you know, there's just a lot going on, and it's got a very active community, but it just, for me, the matches were forever. And when I play games, usually it's sparingly. I have 30 minutes, 45 minutes max at a time typically. So I like to keep them short. This game, its pacing is beautiful. Like the matches, it's the first to 13 and you can get through in about 30 or 40 minutes.
That's good.
Yeah, I'll be watching streamers and friends and trying to like stream snipe them because I know we're about similar SR level, and so when they start queuing, I'll start queue, and then we both finish at like the same time. So it's like it's pretty consistent in how long the matches take, whether, you know, it's a blowout or it goes to the final map. You know, there's a little variance, but no, it's a fantastic game. And to this story, what was happening was you know, they did that thing we talked about a few weeks ago on the show where anybody streaming, you didn't have to be, you know, Dr. Lupo, or you didn't have to be some huge streamer to get code drops. Anybody could be watching Joe Schmo play the game and have a chance to get a code themselves just by watching. And what this was doing is that if you put exclamation point drops in your stream title, you would get inflated numbers of people just trying to, you know, AFK in your streams to get codes. And it became a real problem. And so what people did to cheese the system even more is that they would take their VODs and put them live, putting drops enabled and passing it off as live product. So people would be watching it a lot, taking viewership away from actual live streamers just to try and, you know, farm codes and stuff. This is great, the fact that this finally happened, but
yes,
it's way too late. Everybody who wants a code pretty much has a code by now. And that was kind of the sentiment.
Not me. I'd like a code. I want to try out this game so bad.
Well, lucky for you, you can watch twitch.tv/whatsuppizzas Thursdays at 8.
Yeah, I had a friend that during the craziness, I think it took him 4 hours to get a code. He had to do 4 hours of intensive. He couldn't be AFK the way it was set up.
Yeah.
To even get a code. And after hearing that, I was like super deterred. I'm like, yeah, I'll just be patient. But yeah, no, I'd love to try out the game. But yeah, anyway, continue.
I got nothing else. What do you think, David? What do you think, Curtis?
I think it's good. I think anytime, you know, a format takes action against, you know, cheesing the system and cheating is good, because it just kind of takes away from the credibility of the whole thing. So, and not to mention, like, for me, the biggest thing as somebody who did try streaming and, you know, worked hard at trying to make that work and stuff, the fact that somebody can just be putting up a VOD and put, you know, exclamation point drops, and they're going to get more views than me, who's actually putting in the work and trying to stream and trying to, like, do something live, is frustrating. So I'm glad that they're taking action.
What do you think, Curtis?
Yeah, I mean, it unfortunately, you know, it is a bit late for it, but, you know, I guess better late than never. It's an unfortunate thing that happened. I mean, the second that you know, we talked about that being the way that the system worked, I was like, oh, are you kidding me? This is about to be massively exploited for a long time. And I didn't think it would be this long, though. It did take longer than I thought, but, you know, at this point, the damage has been done. And, you know, and at the same time, to cover themselves, Twitch can say that we did take some action. So no surprise, here we are with all of that stuff.
And it was a cool thing. And it was, you know, kind of a, I mean, I don't know, maybe another smaller game has done something like this before, but Valorant definitely was pretty unique in giving that power to everybody. And hopefully other developers try that in the future, and now the groundwork is already laid for them. So maybe they were late on catching it for Valorant. I don't think Valorant's hurting. You know, they got all their codes out. Maybe a few streamers are butthurt. But beyond all that, it was a pretty victimless crime. And at that rate, the next time this comes around, you know, they'll be ready to deal with it a lot quicker. What else we got in the news?
And for the last one, the one that everybody was waiting for, we all knew this was coming. And just to get ahead of things, we will not be talking about any of the leaks, just so people know, so you don't have to run away from the stream. But as we know, The Last of Us leaks, The Last of Us information had leaked, and there's extremely sensitive. What were you saying, Corey?
Yeah, I was going to say, what leaked exactly? Besides, I mean, not exactly, but thereabouts, what leaked?
Everything.
Yeah, more
like
or less.
The entire game is out there. I'm not even joking.
The story, like, was it video footage
story,
of it, or
yes,
screenshots,
extreme plot lines, everything? It's all out there.
Oh no!
So yeah, be careful. Don't get it spoiled. You got 2 months. Almost 2 months left to survive.
Where did it leak? Yeah. Was this like a Reddit thing? Was it a tester? Like, how did this get out there?
So, you guys mind if I jump on this
Please.
One?
Please.
Go for it.
Okay. So, I'm still waiting on, as for many of you know, the former, I think he was an amazing news editor, Jason Schreier for Kotaku, mm-hmm. Who's done many articles on Naughty Dog over the years. His last one that he kind of touched on the topic of what's going on at Naughty Dog was back from mid-March. But based off his newer tweets, it sounds like it was all internally leaked, unfortunately. There was very upset employees that wanted to kind of just stick it to basically the higher ups to say that this system of how you've had us creating game, you know, this mixture of this crunch stress work, needs to stop, basically. And, a lot of that was addressed when Uncharted 4 was released. I mean, there was an entire book on it called, if you guys are interested, it's called, Blood, Sweat, and Pixel. Kind of addressing all the problems internally with these big games. And they thought that the system was going to change. A lot of people left after Uncharted 4. I mean, like 70%, you guys. That's a huge number.
That's huge. Yeah,
that's but 70%, you guys, of the non-like lead designers left after Uncharted 4 because of just being burnt out. You had other... big higher ups as well too, but there's a lot of factors that contribute to kind of the culture of crunch that has burned so many of these employees out. And from what Jason tweeted, he's working on an article right now kind of addressing exactly what happened, but I'll read you guys this tweet. So it says, just catching up on this Naughty Dog story, and man, no matter how angry you are about workplace conditions, your pay, or whatever else, leaking your whole game just hurts all the other people who are in the trenches with you. So many better ways to change, to challenge the rage. Channel the rage. And so it sounds like it was Naughty Dog employees who went ahead and did it and were upset with kind of the situation. And unfortunately, it hurts everybody. It hurts the entire fan base. It hurts their other coworkers. It hurts all the companies involved. So it's a really kind of just tragic story. His other tweet 2 days ago that he says, it's amazing how many people responding to this don't seem to get that the developers at Naughty Dog, including a couple I have talked to already, can be both infuriated and by the crunch culture and devastated by their hard work just getting leaked. This action does not hurt management, it hurts the workers. So I mean, so it'll be interesting to see, because I think he'll get the story. He's always been on it as a great a news editor, so we'll have to wait to hear all the details. But it was all internal, which is really, really sad to hear.
That's a bummer. Yeah. I mean, I didn't really have any intentions on playing the game. I didn't play the first one, but I hate spoilers though. And I think that they kind of nailed it. Like why put everybody, cause not even just the rest of the employees. Now you're hurting all the streamers. Cause a lot of people are streaming, you know, Last of Us 1 to get ready for 2. And that's the number one thing that the trolls like to do, is they like to go into your Twitch stream and just start like spoiling things. So like, you're hurting a lot of people who are just going to go out there and just ruin other people's day on a, you know, insignificant level, but still, like, just a pain in the ass.
Yeah, my two ultimate questions for, obviously, the last time I was on this podcast, we talked about The Last of Us 2 getting delayed, but not just delayed, indefinitely delayed, right? So I was curious for your guys' thoughts too. Why say indefinitely delayed, right? When you could just come forward and say, oh, it's because we can't, you know, manufacture enough physical copies in time, or, you know, it's like, just state the real reason. So it'll be interesting to see what like the real reason is, but why say indefinitely, then have like pretty much the majority of the game leaked, and then be like, okay, well, instead of possibly using the extra 6 months or whatever we need to really finalize this game, we're just going to go ahead and put it out. So I'm curious to see what the real reason was, and then why return all the digital copies in the first place, right? If the game was pretty much quote unquote done, why delay it? Why not delay it? Why you know, you get what I'm saying? It's just a weird situation.
We're in a time where a lot of the information that, especially in the video game industry, where people are just looking for it all the time in every facet possible, that sometimes, you know, a lot of this information is in real time. So it's 100% possible that at that time, a few weeks ago, they didn't know when it was going to come out. So they just had to say indefinitely because they didn't have a date. And when you don't have a date, and it could be tomorrow, it could be next year. Like, we just got to throw that indefinite label on it until we know more. And I don't know whether the leak spawned it. I mean, I had read some stuff, you know, just from Twitter. So it's completely horseshit, more than likely, that, you know, because we're in some pandemic right now, and the fact that the game is based around like a pandemic or, you know, disease or something, that they just were going to wait until COVID was over because they didn't think it was right. So, I mean, a few people will know what the reasons are.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they weren't trying to like intentionally throw anybody off the scent when they said indefinitely. And who knows what the trigger was to actually, because it has an actual date now. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's officially coming out June, what was it? 19th.
Okay. June 19th. Yeah. So, I mean, that's pretty soon. Yeah. And I would think from a game developer standpoint, just seeing how Animal Crossing has just murdered it, you know, in the current climate, that if you have a sick game that you know everyone's going to play, like, my dream is for Cyberpunk to come out and be like, all right, just kidding, guys. Remember when we said November, we love our fans and the pandemic, we're going to help you guys out, and the game's ready tomorrow or something, you know? Like,
pipe dream.
But that would be like, that's the dream. That's what you want. And it would be best for them too, because I guarantee you, in quarantine time, they're going to sell more copies than they would probably even at Christmas. Like, I just think that's where we're at in the world right now. And like, all of us started this episode out saying like, all right, it was cool for a few weeks, but like, now what's next? We need, yeah, what's next. Cyberpunk would be next. Like, I'm not going to lie. I would definitely want to extend quarantine a little bit longer just to get my rounds in on that. But
there was this information that was released back in March. So as we know, so back, it was on September 24th, 2019, The Last of Us 2 was scheduled to be released in February, right? Without a hard set date. It was just the month of February.
Yeah.
And then a month later, it was then announced that it would come out May 29th, right? So basically, AKA 3 more months of crunch, which means, you know, for the workers, that's not, you know, oh, great, we can relax. No, that's we now get to keep, you know, working like crazy for the next 3 months to really try to get everything done in time, right? Which already isn't great. And then mid-February, right, Naughty Dog was able to convince Sony to delay the final manufacture date by another 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
So then that's when we got that news. That was back in Feb, to squeeze, basically allow them to have a time to squeeze out all the bugs and fix as much as they could, right?
Yeah.
But like, extensions don't relieve stress, you know, or the workload on the team. It just makes things worse. And then, you know, then we have this whole leak situation that happens from the employees. But then we have the new finalized date. And I think ultimately the reason we finally got that date in June was because if you've got the whole game out there, you don't want your fan base sitting around getting spoiled, right? Because I think Neil Druckmann, he even tweeted like, you know, what did he say? It was something along the lines of like, you know, please, you know, we do apologize for this, and please know that no matter what, like, the story is worth playing and what you'll experience, basically. But I think they kind of, I think with having their hands tied, I think you just have to get the game out there as soon as you can. So I think with manufacturing and everything, I think that was the soonest date they were going to give us. Otherwise, if we sat around till holiday time, you know, who's going to want to play a game that's been completely leaked and all that crazy.
That's old stuff. News. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, that's,
so I'm glad we get it.
Yeah. It's going to come. It's going to be there soon. You can go on twitch.tv and watch Bad Kitty Cosplay. Actually, what is the actual handle for your Twitch so people can watch you throughout the week?
It's Bad Kitty.
So it's just Bad Kitty. Wait, how'd you get Bad Kitty? You were the first Bad Kitty? No, like, trick spelling, hashtags?
No, it's Bad Kitty.
Wow.
Yeah.
So it was right in front of our faces. No one thought of it.
Yeah, I mean, I had to think of something because it's always just been Bad Kitty or Bad Kitty Cosplay. And then for Twitter handles and everything else, I was like, okay, what can I do? So I was like, oh, it's that works. So then that was used for game tags and for Twitch, and it works really well. So yeah.
All right. And Curtis, man, thanks for being here. Thanks for holding the ship down. Now, what I haven't talked about in a while, but I'll give everybody an update real quick, is that I have a baby due like any minute. I'm kind of half expecting a knock at the door right now just to be like, hey, it's time to go. She is very, very pregnant. So every week is like my last week for at least a couple weeks. And the person who I would just not be able to get any of this stuff done without, especially with the technological needs of doing the quarantine cast, Curtis Fisher, just my humblest, deepest thank you for all the stuff you've been doing, keeping this ship going and keeping it afloat, especially while I'm out doing baby, you know, dad stuff. So thank you, man.
Yeah, man, my pleasure. Having my two daughters was easily like the highlights of my life, like incredible time. So I trying to make it as easy as I can for you so you get to just focus on that, man, because it's going to be an amazing experience for you two, for you three, really. So yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, I've already kind of stopped thinking in terms of two because like the baby's huge. Like it's baby sized right now.
Yeah. It's almost time.
Before she'd be like, oh, put your hand here. Do you feel that? And I'd be like, nah, I don't really feel anything. But now it's like, I think we have a little slugger, like, cause she is just kicking. Like that baby wants to come out now. And so, it could literally happen anytime. And it's like a person. I can't believe it. It's like a little person.
There's a person in there.
Yeah.
It's literally a person.
Yeah. I've seen
Get ready to have a person, Corey.
I've known it since it was this big when we were calling it because we didn't know whether it was a boy or a girl, and it's like a little P-shaped thing, and we're like, oh, Nick, this week's it's the size of a raspberry. Cool. Now that thing's the size of a baby. Like,
yeah. And before you know it, it's going to be bossing you around, so take
your time. I can't wait.
Goodbye, sleep.
Yeah.
That's yep.
So, I don't know, man. Thank you so much for your understanding and just ability. Not many people can technologically even fathom how all this stuff comes together week in and week out, but you make it happen, so thank you, man. And where can people follow you when you're not running this ship?
Yeah, appreciate it again. Thanks. twitch.tv/thinking_critical_yt is when I've been spending most of my time. I've been streaming about 3 times a week now. So just building it up. If you guys want to come over there and help us get to 50 followers so we can apply for affiliate, I would really appreciate it. Mostly just hanging out over there with people and reading tons of comic books, fun stuff. So yeah, check me out over there, and then I'll tell you my stream next time because I'll be streaming back on my channel more consistently soon.
David Webb, your presence is always appreciated. I know you've taken your stream hiatus. How's TikTok going? Where can people keep up to date with your anecdotes and just do life with you, man?
Just do life. You find me on Twitter, the real David Webb. Real David Webb, and then Instagram's the real David Webb. TikTok, I made the first one in a while with my Xbox. So you can go check that out. It's Web Slinger with 2 Ds. And other than that, just grinding over at Vast, and we just launched a stream team. So that's up and running, and it's been fun. So Vast GG on all socials.
All right. That is our show, everybody. Stay safe. Continue to wash those hands. Stay indoors. Wear a mask. Just do whatever your state says. Put it that way. I know it's touchy. People want to get outside. I know I want to get outside too. But just follow the laws. And do the right thing. Be good to each other. For Curtis Fisher, Bad Kitty Cosplay, the real David Webb, my name is Corey Sang. You've just been banged.